Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we are thanking the Lord for the wonderful privilege it is ours of coming to your home or wherever you may be with the Word of God. It is our great purpose and desire that in some way the Word of God will become exceeding precious to your own heart and mind. We not only want your mind to be filled with the truth of God, to have an intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures and of the truth in the Scriptures, but we want that word to live in your heart and in your life. You know, we who are Christians need to live transformed lives. You say, well, that's a supernatural thing. Well, that's true. A Christian life is a supernatural life. It is the Spirit of God living in and through you and me so that others will come to know Him. In fact, as far as the world is concerned, their only knowledge of God in a real vital way is what they see manifested in God's people. And if I were teaching the gospel through John chapter 14, I'd point out where our Lord said, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." But he's gone back to the glory. He's at the right hand of God. So if men today in our generation want to see the manifestation of the heart of God, they must see it in his people. We see the majesty of God and the power of God in creation. But to see the heart of God, the compassion, the tenderness, the love of God, we must see it in God's people. This is why the Spirit of God has come, to indwell his people, to take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And I want to take a moment to thank you folk for writing me. Many of you encourage me in the ministry of the Word of God, and I'm so glad before God, thankful to the Lord, that He's blessed your hearts. For some who have just come into the knowledge of the gospel, for some who need that assurance and that peace, and some who have really fallen in love with the Savior. You know, it's a thrill to me to realize that some people who 3 years ago didn't know the Lord, and today their lives, their families are all transformed through the power of the gospel, through coming into right relationship with the Savior. And even when we're speaking now of the book of Genesis, where we have the beginning of things, we're ever amazed at the fact that God should create a being called man, made in the image of God, and one with whom God can have blessed fellowship. And man can have blessed fellowship with him. It's very hard for us to realize that when God made man, and I'm using these first two chapters of Genesis, he made man for a purpose. He made man different to any other creature on the earth. What for? That he might have one with whom he could have fellowship. The capacities that God has given to man, you don't find it in animal creation. You don't find animals doing things that man does. It's a great barrier between man and the creatures. I want to tell you, my friends, God made man in his own image, in his own likeness, for a purpose. And as we shall see in chapter 3, man broke that fellowship. But it's hard for us, as I was going to say, hard for us to realize the relationship and the circumstances of Adam and Eve when God made them and gave them dominion over the works of his hands, and man in fellowship with God. Man and woman in a perfect environment. Think of it. In Eden, the garden of God. No sin, no shame. One can hardly believe it. And yet this is so. God made man. And God came down, you remember, in the cool of the day to talk with man. But before I leave this first chapter, I would like to say a word concerning this first chapter in the from verse 3 on, you remember, where the writer, and I believe God is the one who gave Moses the words to write, where God said, "Let there be light." God said all the way through. There was darkness over the face of the deep, and God said, "Light be," and light was. and you follow it through. Now, there are those who have taken all these days of arrangement and ways of creation, the arrangement of the heavens and the earth, the arrangement of the very ground and so on, the sea and the earth, and God saw it, that it was good. And then you have the creation of the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and then of the animal creation, then of man. But I was just thinking about, some have taken these verses and brought a spiritual, shall I say, lesson of how man is dead in trespasses and sins. He's in darkness. And God has come along and light has shone. You remember the 119th Psalm, the 130th verse says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." Friend, let me be very, very frank about it. Every man and woman out of Christ is in the kingdom of darkness. They're in darkness. In fact, in John chapter 1, you remember those first 13 verses of John chapter 1, his pre-incarnation. Do you remember where it speaks of the fact that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and the light was the life of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. John could say, "I'm not that light. I'm sent to bear witness of that light." Our Lord could say in John chapter 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Men are in darkness, spiritual darkness. A person can be well trained in all the philosophies and all the signs of men, still be in darkness, spiritual darkness. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verses 4 to 7, I'm not going to quote the whole passage, but you remember verse 4 says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Until our Savior came into the world, the whole human race was in darkness, dead in trespasses and sins. And when a sinner comes and accepts the Savior through the Word of God, "For the entrance of thy Word," and I'm quoting that Psalm again, 119, Psalm verse 130, "The entrance of thy Word giveth light." In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message which we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And when a sinner comes and accepts the Savior, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines in his heart, he's transformed. He becomes a new man in Christ. He comes into right relationship with God. And as Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "God hath translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his blessed Son." I'm just using these first two or three verses of the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then in second verse, you have darkness over the deep. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. See, friend, it's possible for you and for me to enjoy a relationship with the God who made everything. You can't do anything, my friend, to come into this relationship except to accept that which God has done for you. Do you know, I was reading that 100th Psalm. Do you remember the 100th Psalm? By the way, it's the only one called the Song of Praise. And it says this, I'm reading a third verse, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, he created us, not we ourselves. And we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture." I'll tell you what to you Christians, you who trust the Savior, and the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined in your hearts, and you see him as your Savior and as your Lord. Isn't it wonderful we can say, know ye that the Lord our God, he's good. It's he that's made us. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He said, come into his presence. We're singing. You mean come into the presence of the living God who framed the ages by the word of his mouth? That's right. Come into his presence. We're singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Why not? We have every right to go there. See, friend, there's a tremendous difference between one who has accepted the Savior and one who has not accepted the Savior. Friend, listen. The trouble today is that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Why? Lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And John the Apostle could write, this is the message, that God is light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the purpose of light is to dispel darkness. You come into a darkened room, and today we just flip the switch, push a button, and light comes on. What does the light do? It dispels darkness. You say, my, I'm so thankful that I belong to the kingdom of God's Son. I'm no longer in the dark. Yes, you revel in that. You enter into his courts with thanksgiving. You come with singing into his presence. How the Lord loves that. My, how he loves it. The trouble is too many of us come into his presence when we're in trouble. And when we have some tremendous needs, or we're in difficulty, or we're in suffering or sorrow or misunderstanding, and we run to the Lord with our troubles, and he welcomes us with open arms. Don't misunderstand me. But you know it would be a wonderful thing if you ran into his presence with singing, with thanksgiving, just to have a good time with the Savior. Huh? Do you ever do that? Well, you've missed something. You've missed something. You see, this is why God made us. This is why God redeemed us. He let the light shine in our hearts and minds. What for? To see the beauty and the glory of our Savior. And you remember John 16, where our Lord said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will take the things of mine and show them unto you. He will show you things to come. Ah, the very center of it is the preeminent Savior. He is the light of the world. He is the one who created all things by the word of his mouth. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What do you mean by that? I've come into a new relationship with God. I've become his child. But what about the sheep of his pasture? Then he's my shepherd. And as my shepherd, he takes care of us. I tell you, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. No wonder Paul was in love with him when he said, I count everything but loss just to know him, just to be found in him. How about you? No wonder he could say, I'm ambitious to be found pleasing in his sight. No wonder he could say, the love of Christ overmasters me. No wonder he could say, if we be beside ourselves, it's to God. If we're sober, it's for your cause. No wonder he could say, whether I live or whether I die makes no difference as long as Christ is magnified in my body. For to me to live, Christ, to die is to be with Christ. What's the difference? As long as Christ is magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. See, friends, and you, it gives you a new outlook on life. You see, and as long as I'm down here, I've got a responsibility. The moment I say I'm joined to the Savior who is the light of the world, then I've got a job to shine as lights. Philippians chapter 2, 15 to 16, Paul says, you are the sons of God. in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. Boy, what a responsibility. Man, what a responsibility. That wherever I go, wherever you go, you who love the Savior, there's got to be the revelation of the living, eternal Son of God through you and through me, not only by our words and by our actions, but by our very attitudes. Oh, friend, I plead with you who love the Savior. It's high time that we, if I may quote again from Romans 13, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And here I see all around me my generation in darkness. Tens of thousands of people in despair, in fear, lacking peace, disgusted with life, not knowing what to do with themselves, not knowing where they're going. And they're plunging into sin, and they're plunging into this, that, and the other thing. What for? Trying to find satisfaction. And all they need is to have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine upon them. And you and I are to be the channels to communicate that wonderful, precious story of redeeming grace to them. God said, light be, and light was. Then he talks about the ground bringing forth fruitage. And that's what we should be, in that place where God's going to get fruitage through us. In fact, if I may quote from John 15, he could say, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, self-control. Against such there is no law. Isn't it wonderful? This is what God has for us. We are to bear fruit to the one to whom we have been joined. Now that's the end of chapter 1 and into chapter 2. May I just say one further thing about chapter 2, the beginning of it? The heavens and the earth were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, hallowed it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And just as the Lord rested on the seventh day because of a finished creation, we rest too in the finished work of redemption. You remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, we read, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and they have ceased from their own works, as God did from his. May I just say a word about the Sabbath? Remember, this was set apart at creation. A remembrance of God's work of creation, and the seventh day he rested. It was set apart at creation. Although as you read your Bible, you will notice there is no record the Sabbath day is never again mentioned until you come to the book of Exodus chapter 16, where you have the giving of the manna to Israel. There was no Sabbath, no record of the Sabbath made after the fall of man until God has a redeemed people. And there was no rest for Israel until God has them out in the wilderness for himself. He said, I brought you to myself. I'm quoting Exodus 19. And there was no rest for Israel until they were feeding on the manna. And just so now, there is no rest for the people of God unless we feed on Christ, the bread of life. Now it is true that when you come to Exodus chapter 20, at the giving of the Ten Commandments, the fourth one was the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath whole day to keep it holy. It became a law, and with that law became a penalty. You remember the book of Numbers, there was a man found gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Inquiry was made what to do with him. Take him out and stone him. Now, you don't find that in Exodus 16, where the law of the Sabbath was given as a gift. The Sabbath day was given as a gift to Israel. And even though the Lord had said, you gather enough manna on the sixth day to carry you through the seventh and go back to your tents and enjoy a good rest, thinking about the Lord and his wonderful redemption and delivering power, which they'd experienced coming out of Egypt. But we find that a great many went out on the Sabbath day. The seventh day, what for? To find some manna. They disobeyed the Lord. Why didn't they die? No, it was a gift. But in the next chapter, chapter 20, when it became a law, then you have the corresponding penalty of death. Now, when you come to Hebrews, the apostle who wrote the book of Hebrews informs us that that God rested the Sabbath day and hallowed it. There was a rest for God in his work of creation. And then the writer says, there remaineth for us a rest because of a finished redemption. Just as you couldn't add to the God of creation to what he had accomplished, neither can you add to the work of redemption with the Savior accomplished. And remember the guarantee of that redemption was his resurrection from the dead. So I say to you today, let us rest in the finished work of Christ. There are so many people who are not resting in him. And I just plead with your heart, my Christian friend, to rest in the Savior. And today enjoy that rest. You can. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And we've rested from our own works as God did from his. Now the Lord bless you today. And please walk with the Lord today. Enjoy him. This is why he made you. This is why he redeemed you. This is why he cleansed you, that you might have real, intimate fellowship with him. And the Lord bless you indeed today for his precious name's sake.